I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is writer and conservationist William DeBuise, who's the author of seven books, which range from memoir and biography to environmental history and studies of place. In 2000, he earned the National Range Management Award of the U.S. Forest Service, and from 2001 to 2004, under an appointment by President Bill Clinton, he served as the founding chairman of the Valle Caldera Trust, which administers the 89,000-acre Valle Caldera National Preserve. His books include Enchantment and Exploitation, The Life and Hard Times of a New Mexico Mountain Range, The Walk, and most recently, A Great Aridness, Climate Change and the Future of the American Southwest. He has an article at Tom Dispatch, The Oxygen Planet Struts Its Stuff, Not a Perfect Storm, but the New Norm in the American West. Welcome to Background Briefing, William DeBuise.
Thank you. It's very good to be with you.
And I've been covering, of course, the drought in the American breadbasket, the ice sheet melting in Greenland, and the Great Rift in the Antarctica. And now you're filling in more of the picture, which, of course, indicates global warming is alive and well, even though there's a lot of denial in this country. Give us a sense, though, of, since I'm talking to you from California and you're in New Mexico, what can we expect in the Southwest in the next couple of decades? What's it going to look like?
Well, you're quite right that there are a lot of dots out there, and gradually people are connecting them more and more from the Arctic to the temperate area here. In the Southwest and the Rocky Mountains, what we can expect is more aridity. As temperatures rise, things necessarily dry out more. Higher temperatures mean more evaporation. More evaporation means more aridity, and that's even if precipitation stays the same, but don't bet your house on it. All in all, it means for more vulnerability to fire, insects, and heat-induced death for forests throughout the southern Rocky Mountains, and a great deal of strain and stress in agriculture and many other sectors of human activity.
Well, quite a big part of the Southwest, particularly Arizona's big cities, and, of course, the poster boy for an unnatural city, if you will, is Las Vegas, Nevada. Isn't that inherently a problem, that we've built cities and transported water a long distance to keep these artificial cities alive?
Well, that's exactly right. Edward Abbey, the writer, pointed out that the Southwest has plenty of water. We just put our cities in the wrong places.
So are these cities expendable then?
Well, they're not. Nothing's expendable. I mean, wherever people have put their hearts, wherever they've built their dreams, become very important places to society. Unfortunately, our big conurbations in the Southwest are increasingly vulnerable to water shocks of one kind or another, and it's because of that, for instance, that the Southern Nevada Water Authority is presently building what amounts to a bathtub drain in the very bottom of Lake Mead. Nevada is making every move it can to assure water security for the future, but in an era of climate change, we can expect our rivers to decline in volume by quite considerable amounts. Some projections say about 20% by mid-century. And that's a lot of water to be missing in a region of the country that's already oversubscribed, overtaxed, and overallocated.
So, again, I'm speaking with William DeBuise, who's the author of seven books, which range from memoir and biography to environmental history and studies of place. He's a writer and a conservationist and And his latest book is A Great Aridness, Climate Change and the Future of the American Southwest. He has an article at Tom Dispatch, The Oxygen Planet Struts Its Stuff, Not a Perfect Storm, but the New Norm in the American West. So describe further, if you will, the new norm in the American West with increased aridity.
Well, we're going to have wet periods and dry periods, as we have had in the past. But these wet and dry cyclical changes, basically produced by El Nino and La Nina, everybody's heard about them, these wet and dry periods are going to be superimposed on a much drier and much hotter climatic norm. The climatologists predict, for instance, that the droughts of the 1930s and the 1950s, those conditions are going to be the new normal in the future of the American Southwest. And so we'll have droughts and wet periods superimposed on that. Drought is an exceptional event. We don't say that the Sahara Desert is experiencing drought. The Sahara Desert is dry by nature. In the American Southwest, we are getting drier and drier by nature as a result of climate change.
Well, we've already witnessed record fires in Texas, in Colorado, and in New Mexico, and in Arizona, and of course in California as well. And then you're suggesting in your article at Tom Dispatch in the Huffington Post, The Oxygen Planet Struts Its Stuff, Not a Perfect Storm, but the New Norm in the American West, that a lethal combination of drought, insect plagues, windstorms, and legions of dead, dying, and stressed out trees constitute what some pundits are calling wildfires, perfect storms. So it sounds like this is self-reinforcing. The drier it gets, the more likely a spark will set off, and there's more tinder for forest fires.
Well, that's exactly right. And part of our vulnerability to catastrophic fire is human-produced. Fire suppression over the last century and a quarter has greatly contributed to the buildup of fuels in the forest. But ultimately, the heating of the environment is going to cancel out that signal of human fuel building, and we're going to have so much heat stress on our trees, on our forest communities, that our vulnerability to these catastrophic fires will become, in a sense, normal. We may not even continue to look at them as catastrophic, but just part of the normal state of affairs.
Well, but if, you know, you're somebody that's been preserving an 89,000-acre national preserve, the Valle Caldera Trust, or the Valle Caldera National Preserve, what happens when that's gone? I mean, in other words, if this is going to be an escalating condition, it's going to look pretty bad in a few decades, the entire Southwest, isn't it?
Well, in one respect, you could look at it as a situation in which heartbreak becomes normal. You know, we all care a lot about the woods, about the forests, and people get attached to places quite rightly and quite naturally. And a lot of the places to which we are attached are changing dramatically under the pressure of a warming and drying climate. We've already seen 5 million acres of lodgepole pine in Colorado, some of the most beautiful scenery in western North America, succumb to bark beetles, and those bark beetles are part of the package of climate change. They're a natural force in the environment, but with warmer winters, more of them survive to the spring. With warmer summers, more of them, with the summer being longer, from frost to frost, there are more generations of insect reproduction. So we get more swarms, more impact on the trees, more heat stress. In the drought in Texas and Oklahoma last summer, between 2 and 10% of all the trees in Texas died. So these are heartbreakingly gigantic changes in the landscape, in the environment. And I suppose, reluctantly, we're all going to have to get used to seeing a lot of our favorite places be transformed, and not for the better.
Unless, of course, we wake up to the reality of global warming and start to do something about it. And what do you think the chances of that are?
Well, you pointed out at the beginning of our conversation some of the other news that we've been hearing, from the melting in Greenland to changes in Antarctica, record high temperatures all across the United States. It makes you wonder just how many dots we have to connect before people and the politicians wake up to the enormity of what we're facing here. I think that with additional disasters, sadly enough, the point of all this will finally be driven home to people. My big concern is that when that time comes, I'm not entirely sure we're going to react rationally. It would be a tragedy compounded on other tragedies if, instead of reacting in a science-based, rational way, we fled to even more magical thinking. It's going to be a hard set of decisions to make to work our way through this problem, and we're going to have to use every resource at our disposal to make the right ones.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, William DeBuys.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with the writer and conservationist William DeBuys, the author of 7 books which range from memoir and biography to environmental history and studies of place. In 2000, he earned the National Range Management Award of the United States Forest Service, and from 2001 to 2004 was appointed by President Bill Clinton to serve as the founding chairman of the Valle Caldera Trust, which administers the 89,000-acre Valle Caldera National Preserve. He's the author of a number of books, including The Enchantment and Exploitation, The Life and Hard Times of a New Mexico Mountain Range, The Walk, and most recently, A Great Aridness, Climate Change and the Future of the American Southwest. He has an article at the Huffington Post and Tom Dispatch, The Oxygen Planet Struts Its Stuff, Not a Perfect Storm, but the New Norm in the American West. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Fahen Mohammed. And this program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.